Welcome to Eastern Standard, a radio magazine about interesting people, places, and things happening in the Commonwealth. Eastern Standard is a community service of Eastern Kentucky University, produced with the support of One, the Alltech Ideas Conference, and Dynamics Productions. I'm Tom Martin, and we're dedicating this edition to that most fundamental thing about being an American citizen, voting.
It's a sacred right. I can't understand why people wouldn't want to go vote. I can assure you that your vote really does count. In this particular election, it's local officials who have direct impact on your lives. It's more important to vote this time than just about any other time.
Our equipment, it's not hooked to the internet.
Our equipment can no more be hacked than your toaster.
We have pulled together information from across a variety of sources to basically centralize information about the local races for the 2018 midterm elections.
We've got some big problems we're up against right now, and we need some people with generous spirits to help us overcome them.
Fayette County Clerk Don Blevins, Secretary of State Allison Lundigan Grimes, Madison County Clerk Kenny Barger, Civic Lex Director Richard Young, and Lexington-born actor Michael Shannon. All ahead on this edition of Eastern Standard. So let's get going with an overview from Allison Lundigan Grimes, Kentucky Secretary of State and Chair of the State Board of Elections. And it's in that capacity that we've invited Secretary Grimes to join us to talk about the November 6th elections in Kentucky. We thank you for taking time for us.
Thank you, Tom. Pleasure to join.
So with Election Day just around the corner, the focus of this edition of Eastern Standard is on the integrity of our voting system in Kentucky. Can voters feel confident of the security of their ballots when they go to the polls on November 6th? Secretary Grimes, Election Day is coming up. Is Kentucky ready?
We are. And importantly, we have to thank 15,000 precinct election officers who are coming out to help us conduct this election. The greatest asset that we have to our elections, they aren't dependent on myself as the chief election official and chair of the State Board of Elections, nor the staff of the State Board of Elections, or even our 120 county clerks. It is dependent on 15,000 folks stepping up to do their civic duty to help us open over 3,700 precincts across this Commonwealth. Our main focus is to make sure we have a successful election day where voters can feel confident not only in the results, but in the fair process that we have and that we provide here across the entire state.
We have heard that there is a shortage of poll workers. Is that a problem?
It is. The average age that we have right now for our poll workers is around 65 years old. We're now looking for that new generation of folks who will step up and realize that civic engagement is a big part of the responsibility of being a citizen of the United States. And so the effort is underway all across Kentucky in all of our 120 counties. Our county board of elections, they need you. We had a shortage in the primary of about 500 folks where we had to reach out and have an emergency call to action. We encourage anybody, if you're interested in serving as a precinct election officer, check out govotekentucky.com. That's where you can sign up. And importantly, your information will be sent down to the county board of elections, who will be in touch, hopefully to try to get you trained in time to be a precinct election officer, if not for this election, for our future elections.
Okay. I'm glad you mentioned training, because I was going to ask if somebody hears this and they are interested, that's involved. You will be trained.
Yes.
And I believe, is there compensation involved?
There is, although, Tom, it's not what it should be. Even it's not what it is statutorily minimum required from our statutes here in Kentucky. As folks know, we have a budget shortage that faces the Commonwealth every year. As Kentucky Secretary of State, the budget submitted on behalf of the State Board of Elections has never been fully funded. So our ability to reimburse our counties, not only for their registration efforts, but importantly for their precinct election officers, my hope is that folks realize, regardless of the compensation, you're going to get so much more out of this day being a part of it. There is training in advance that we require before anybody is in our precincts, because we want to make sure, obviously, they know the procedures and, importantly, how the equipment that operates and what the expectations are to be able to ensure the accuracy of our elections.
Well, at least there is some compensation for the time invested in taking the time off. And taking the day off is another question. Some have put out there the thought that maybe we ought to make Election Day a national holiday, so it is a day off for everybody. What do you think of that?
that?
I think it would be wonderful if the General Assembly would help to encourage participation of all citizens who are eligible across this Commonwealth. We have a historic number of folks who are now registered on our voter registration rolls. But sadly, what we see is that registration doesn't turn into the participation that we'd like to see on Election Day.
As November 6 approaches, there are serious questions out there in the land about cybersecurity, protecting the integrity of the vote and the elections process. Last summer at the DEF CON hacking conference, security experts hacked away at a variety of voting machines, and they came away saying that the machines were hopelessly vulnerable to even the most basic hacking. Are Kentucky's voting machines designed for the security threats that we have today, or does that depend on the county?
Our machines, the equipment that we're using across the state, it's no secret that it's aged equipment. I don't know anybody that's operating a cell phone that's over a decade old and still counting it and calling it up to date. Our process is decentralized. Our equipment, it's not hooked to the internet, in contrast to what you saw at DEF CON, which is a conference that must be watched. You must take seriously the results that come from it and hopefully learn from it. Our equipment is not equipment that's easily obtainable, for instance, over the internet, as many of those pieces of equipment were. In terms of what we do here in this state, we do need to update our equipment. We have funding that we've just received from the federal government. It was due back in 2002. We just received it today. So 15 plus years later, we're finally get the funding we need to help continue to upgrade our equipment. And my hope is the State Board of Elections has heard the public cry that is consistent with the conferences that we see like DEF CON that show the propensity for folks not to have confidence in our elections when they don't have a voter verified paper trail. That paper audit is crucial for people to be able to know that even if something were to happen, for instance, with influence campaigns, if something were to happen with websites and how vote totals are displayed, even though those aren't connected to our machines, that we can always go back to that paper trail and what occurred on Election Day. Here in Kentucky, we have work to do in that regard. Our machines this year, they have audits, they have inspections, they're ready to go for this November 6th election. But it's my hope as the chief election official that our county board of elections, led by our county clerks, will heed the call. They'll accept this money that we have, nearly $6 million that we just received from the federal government, to purchase new equipment. It's at their discretion to purchase new equipment. And importantly, that they'll follow the resolution of the State Board of Elections, and that equipment will be voter verified, offering a paper trail for every citizen.
And you made a very important point early on there that I want to get back to. And I want to ask, is this uniform across the Commonwealth? These machines are not hooked up to the internet.
That's correct. Our process is decentralized. When people say, can your election be hacked? They need to know that our machines are not hooked to the internet. Tallying does not occur until when you're talking about absentee ballots, the day of the election, when we're talking about what's happening in our precincts. That's at 6 o'clock your local time when they're pushing their summary on each machine to post at each precinct. That is not hooked to the internet anywhere. Those machines are not connected to anything that is penetrable. That being said, it's still technology that needs to continue to be updated.
Do you think should voting machine vendors be held to some higher uniform enforceable standards, like pharmaceutical, for example, standards like safety, privacy, transparency, and effectiveness of their products?
Well, it's worth your listeners realizing all across this nation, election administration, the infrastructure, the equipment that we use, it is now critical infrastructure under the definition of the federal government. The same consideration is given to the power grid as is given to how we run our elections. There are standards that are out there for the National Institute for Technology. There are standards that the Election Assistance Commission provides to states. There are standards that the General Assembly has adopted that are consistent with both of those groups that are set forth. But we need to be making sure that we are constantly looking forward and being prepared for what is to come, because we have not only domestic, but foreign bad actors that are constantly seeking to sow discord, to bring about chaos and confusion to our elections. So even if it is not something happening directly with the equipment, it's the misinformation campaigns out there about what is being used in our elections that oftentimes causes folks to have a lack of confidence in this process and to stay away from the ballot box. My hope as chief election official is that we can build that confidence. We can bring people out. We do that with good equipment. We do that with good training. We do that with holding the companies who are giving our counties this equipment through payments to the standards that we would want for anything operating in our own homes.
I just heard something that was really interesting. I didn't know this, and I imagine a lot of people don't, but the vendors of these machines make their money mostly from the technical services that they provide to state and local governments for conducting elections. And we hear that these revenues are pretty slim, pretty marginal, and that these voting machine companies can't really afford to invest in software development at the level that we might hope for. And I wonder if that's an accurate assessment. And while I'm at it, a solution that's been put forth is to maybe think about the voting infrastructure like a public utility, where the public trades certain kinds of protections for the industry in exchange for guarantees that the system and the software are up to date and secure.
In terms of the vendors operating here in the Commonwealth, we do have several vendors that operate that have been in operation for quite some time, more than just my tenure as Secretary of State preceding me. And I think if you are going to hold yourself out as someone that has technology that is able to be counted on in what is one of the most central tenets of our democracy, our elections, then you need to be able to service that equipment, update that equipment, and keep it maintained for the life of its usage. In terms of what we do here in this state, the ability to purchase new equipment, I think it's key for your listeners to understand, it comes from the County Board of Elections. Their discretion, you have your clerk, your sheriff, a Democrat or Republican, those are the four members of your County Board of Elections. They determine what equipment that county is going to be using. So if you are interested in seeing equipment that offers that voter verified paper trail, and it's not happening, for instance, the majority of our counties are operating on equipment that does not offer that voter verified paper trail. Fayette County, for instance, every single piece of equipment, it's handicap accessible equipment, but it provides a summary as opposed to an individual total. You need to go to the clerk, you need to go to the sheriff and the Democrat and Republican and demand, as the public has been saying to me they need to demand of their County Board of Elections that this take place, because that's where the power lies in terms of what's going to be operating in the counties. And ultimately, our counties, I believe, can work together to have better buying power and leveraging power, especially with our vendors.
Okay, just a few seconds left. What's your guesstimation on turnout on Election Day? Care to give us a prediction?
Well, we are in the process now of watching the absentee voting that is going on from those qualified and eligible voters who can vote early with an excuse. We have about 30,000 plus absentee ballots that have been cast. We're going to see the predictions, especially leading up to the election, before that absentee voting closes, before I make any prediction. But I can tell you, if you look at historical turnout trends, we're usually in the 40 to 45% range of turnout. This is a county election year, a huge ballot where it's not just federal races, state House, state Senate that are on the ballot, but all of our county elected offices, as well as judicial offices and several unexpired terms. My hope is people don't 60% of the folks here in this state don't sit on the sidelines, that they get in this process. They drop that remote. They'll grab their coat in this cold Kentucky weather we're now seeing come through and actually get out and vote. Polls are open 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. on Election Day. And if you need to know where to go vote or what the ballot looks like, driving directions on how to get there, GoVoteKentucky.com. That's the one-stop election portal. Check that out on your phone, on your tablet, on any computer, handheld device that you might have, and you'll have all the information that you need.
Kentucky Secretary of State Allison Lundegan Grimes, we thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Tom.
Coming up after the break,
Kentucky really only has two brands of machines. One is ES&S and the other is Hart InterCivic. Both are not connected to the internet at all. So there's no threat of hacking. A lot of people are concerned about that. And really, that's the least of our worries.
The real crisis that the state of Kentucky is seeing is having enough precinct election officials at the polls the day of the election.
The View from the Trenches, Fayette County Clerk Don Blevins and Madison County Clerk Kenny Barger. And later in the hour, actor Michael Shannon on why he'll be in Lexington with his band on the weekend before Election Day. I'm Tom Martin, and you're listening to Eastern Standard on the WEKU network of stations. You're listening to Eastern Standard on WEKU. I'm Tom Martin, and we're looking into the mechanics of the midterm election. Are Kentucky voting machines safe and secure? Do we have enough people working the polling places? And how your single vote can make a difference? Because our time is limited, we went to the two most populous counties in the WEKU listening region to get a sense of how things are shaping up as Election Day approaches. We'll hear from Madison County Clerk Kenny Barger in a few minutes. First, his Fayette County counterpart, Don Blevins. So are you ready for November 6th? Have any concerns?
We are indeed ready. No concerns. We're having the usual last-minute things to do. For example, occasionally an election officer will get ill or something and not be able to serve. But I think we're ready.
Is Fayette County experiencing this shortage of precinct officials, poll workers?
I don't know that I would call it a shortage. I would call it it's a challenging to recruit, and particularly it started this year. Traditionally, we haven't had a lot of trouble getting people to serve, but for some reason this year we're having more difficulty getting people to serve. That becomes an even bigger challenge because in each precinct you're supposed to have what's called party parity. You're supposed to have two Democrats and two Republicans serving in the various positions. Well, if you get in a particular precinct that's heavily Republican or Democrat, that can be an even bigger challenge. Honestly, Tom, I think the sort of the nasty rhetoric nationwide is making people a little nervous to serve as an election officer. That would be my guess.
Are you concerned about disruptions?
Yes, not in the sense of I think there's an imminent threat. I'm concerned in that I think that's the more realistic threat to an election. It's far easier to disrupt a few precincts or a part of a city or even the voter registration system. I know that the Secretary of State and the State Board of Elections have lots of protections built in. But if you can cause a disruption on election day that makes people not want to vote or make them think that their vote doesn't count, that's far more effective and easier to do than it is to actually try and change the vote.
We've heard so much about concerns about cybersecurity with our voting machines. Are Kentucky's voting machines designed for the kinds of security threats that we face today, or does that vary from county to county?
I would say that Kentucky really only has two brands of machines. One is ES&S and the other is Hart InterCivic. Both are not connected to the internet at all. So there's no threat of hacking. A lot of people are concerned about that. And really, that's the least of our worries. So I think from a cybersecurity point of view, our election system, because it is spread out, decentralized, and it's never connected to the internet, it's very difficult to hack.
We hear from the election experts that voting machines that don't provide a paper backup trail can be a problem. If there's a contested election or suspected breach or tampering attempt, there's no way to verify the election result. Do Fayette County voting machines provide a voter-verified paper trail?
They do not. Back in the day when we bought these machines in Fayette County, the biggest concern was of ordinary Americans trying to cheat and sway, throw elections. At the time, paper ballots were considered to be more of a security problem than the digitally recorded electronic machines that we now have. Of course, now over the last 10 years, public opinion has shifted. The votes will be counted, and there's multiple layers of backups. It's not that any votes will ever be lost. I think what we're seeing is a nationwide trend towards the comfort of having a true paper backup. It's a comfort I agree with, and I would like to replace the machines in Lexington. They're now 10 years old. It's time. So we need to do it anyway. However, I'm in agreement with the national trend to go to paper because it does give us all a sense of comfort. And what's most important, Tom, is that people believe that their vote counts. It's not just that it really does. It's that their perception is that it does.
Isn't it strange that in this day and age, this digital-dominated day and age, the solution is paper?
Yes. It feels like we're going backwards, doesn't it?
Yep. Do your machines make the results easier to audit then?
I wouldn't say it's easier. It's just a different way of doing it. Most of the machines today, even the paper machines, the paper-based machines, are actually scanners that at the end of the day, there's a highly encrypted computer chip, if you will, or memory stick that has the results on it. And that's what is used to tabulate. It's all very automated. You know, in Lexington, I'm kind of proud of this, actually. We get all of our precincts back in and the votes are tabulated typically by 7:30. That's really fast when you consider that we have 286 precincts.
You talked a little bit about the state of our voting machines. They're outdated. Time to update them. Do you think that voting machine vendors ought to be held to maybe a higher uniform, even enforceable standard as to safety, privacy, transparency, and the effectiveness of their product?
Well, sure. I believe that we should do that. They are already held to a fairly high standard. There's a federal commission that oversees machines and approves whether or not they're allowed to be used in federal elections. And then at the state level, the state board certifies machines as well. So there's several checks and balances that begin before I could even purchase one of these machines. And then secondly, it's not well known, but they have to escrow the software so that if there ever is a concern that they've been hacked or something, we can actually double check and see whether the machines have been hacked. So there's a lot of layers of protection the public doesn't really know that are out there.
I've heard an idea put out there that asking if it would make sense for voting infrastructure to be regulated and funded like a public utility, where the public trades certain kinds of protections for the industry in exchange for guarantees that the system and the software are all up to date and secure. Do you think that would work?
Sure. This might be one of those situations where the free market isn't the right answer. We may want to take this and make it a government-funded entity where we produce our own machines and the proprietary software, the security is top secret, et cetera, that will inherently make it a lot more secure.
Going back to the question about security and disruption and all those things, talking in public about these dangers is a tough balancing act for officials like you, Don. Transparency in election is a key component to a working democracy, but we all want people to vote, so elections officials have to portray confidence in the system. How do you balance these competing priorities?
That's a great question, Tom. I think I would say that I like to tell people I am 100% certain that your vote will count. And there are numerous examples of why everybody's vote really does matter. We won't go into that today. But as you know, little statistics like John F. Kennedy won by less than one vote per precinct nationwide. Here in Fayette County, just a quick example, in 1973, the mayor's race was decided by 56 votes. If
wow.
You've not read Foster Pettit's book about what happened at the very end. But what you may not know is that several of the council races were decided by 3 and 4 votes, including my father, who won by literally 4 votes.
Wow.
So your vote does count even right here in our little town. But the balance, you're right, it's difficult. You have to tell people and give them assurance that it will count and you want them to vote. At the same time, you know, folks, we all need to have our eyes open. If you see something at the precinct that doesn't look right, call either the Attorney General's office or my office. Just let us know so we can at least check on it.
What's voter registration looking like?
Voter registration is up. The Secretary of State and the State Board created an online portal for registration. A lot of people have been using that. We're seeing a little bit more activity. I think in some cases it's people re-registering thinking they have to do it when in fact they were already registered, which is fine. We take care of that, no problem. I've recently commissioned a study by Dr. Stephen Voss at UK's Political Science Department to look at registration rates here in Lexington. If you're interested, we could talk about that.
Yeah, I'd like to know what you found.
So I asked this simple question. What is the percentage of registration in Fayette County? And it sounds like that would be easy math, and it is. It's the numerator is how many registered voters there are, and the denominator is how many eligible registered voters. But getting to those numbers is a little trickier than you might imagine. So Dr. Voss has done a great job of analyzing those, and we've come up with estimates of somewhere between 75 and 85 to 90% registered in Lexington. In the report, which, by the way, is on my website, FayetteCountyClerk.com, right on the homepage, in the report, he also talks about various methods that are trying to be used nationwide to increase voter registration and also to increase voter participation. And what he shows is that a lot of the things that we think would help actually don't, and in some cases make things worse.
And what are those?
So, well, one example would be early voting. There's a lot of people that believe we should do early voting in Kentucky. And nationwide, what we're finding is people that already vote love it because of the convenience. However, it doesn't increase participation. And in fact, in a couple of states, it's decreased participation. And the reason they're thinking is that it's a social phenomena that when it's election day concentrated, you know that your spouse and your family are going to vote, and you get caught up in the excitement of going together to vote. And when you spread it over multiple days, you get a decrease of that social participation. So we're finding that, just as one example, early voting doesn't work.
Do you think a national holiday on Election Day would make any difference?
I would like to try that. I think that's one idea that might work. I think there are studies of other countries. Now, you got to be careful because it might be apples to apples that show that doesn't really help with participation. But I think that would be a good, healthy start. I wouldn't mind moving it to a Saturday. I think that might not be a bad idea, or make it a holiday, either one. One other interesting thing that popped out of that study that I'm still digesting myself, he just published this about 2 weeks ago, is that there's an estimated about 30% of the population that's just not going to vote, no matter if they're registered or not. So if I'm going to make a kind of a weak argument here, but if we're registered 75 to 85% in Fayette County, you could make the argument that we've got the people who are going to vote, and that we're focusing on registration really isn't going to help us much.
So the focus ought to be on getting people to the polls.
Correct. Absolutely. Getting them motivated to actually go vote.
Get that sticker. Put it on your chest. Election Day is just around the corner now. What's your message to Kentucky voters, Don Blevins?
Oh, please go vote. There's a lot of money put into elections. In Fayette County alone, it costs about $800,000 a year to put on elections. It's a sacred right. I can't understand why people wouldn't want to go vote. I can assure you that your vote really does count. And this particular election, it's local officials who have direct impact on your lives. It's more important to vote this time than just about any other time. So please, get out there and vote.
Don Blevins is Fayette County Clerk, and we thank you for joining us.
Thanks, Tom.
I also sat down with Madison County Clerk Kenny Barger. So what can you tell Madison County voters about the level of election security that they can expect on November 6th?
As far as the state of Kentucky, it is decentralized, which means there are 120 different county boards of elections which are appointed or elected officials on those boards, and they conduct the election within their county, within their boundaries.
So each one is different.
Yes. And that sounds really simple, but it's also very important that if you're going to manipulate, the most important thing about election will be the results or the tally. You have to coordinate with not only the manufacturers of five different kinds of equipment, but those boards of elections and then the precinct officers at the polls that day. In Madison County, and I can't, talk about this enough, Madison County has no equipment hooked to any network. So there's an air gap, what we call an air gap, between everything we do. So there's no manipulation of the entire system. So someone would have to physically touch a piece of equipment in order to manipulate the results on that piece of equipment.
We're in a world where you can program your refrigerator, or you can pull out your smartphone and call up images of galaxies out there. So it's pretty significant that the best, most reliable technology available on Election Day is really good old-fashioned paper.
That's correct.
And are you using paper in some way?
The county purchased new equipment last year, and we started using it. And we were on pre-printed paper ballots before from the majority of votes. But for the ADA-compliant machines, which is someone who is sight-impaired, hearing-impaired, or they're also equipment that can be attached to the machine, where someone who has no function, quadriplegics, can vote on these machines. They are required to be used in every federal election, but we use them in all elections. We have gone from a DRE, which is a direct recording electronically machine on the ADA-compliant machines, to a machine that you vote on a touchscreen, and then it prints out a small paper ballot, which is also scanned just like the pre-printed ballot. So the long answer is yes.
Okay. And just to make sure I'm understanding this correctly now, when a Madison County voter comes into their precinct and they walk up to their machine and enter their choices, none of that information is going beyond that machine.
No. But again, those are all totally separate, not connected in any way, shape, or form. The results aren't recorded there. The manufacturer of the equipment that we purchased calls it a 12-pound pencil.
Okay.
And that's all it does. It's a ballot marking device.
Do these machines make it easier to audit the results?
The results, that's another aspect of the elections.
Okay.
Everybody watches the news on election night to see the results. Those are not results. Nobody harps enough on those results are completely unofficial.
Okay, harp, please.
Yes, those results are based on, those results are for convenience. And it's kind of gotten lost in the smoke a little bit about the results of the election are not actually officially tallied until Thursday, the Thursday following the Tuesday of the election, when every county board of elections meets at the same time, and we tally the results based off a printed tape that comes out of the scanning machines. So those results don't – election night results are important, but they're too much importance has been put on them in the past and more all the time. People feel like those are the official results, and they're not.
So how important, Kenny Barger, how important to democracy itself is it that we maintain confidence in our voting systems?
It's very important. But I also think that it just goes along with the sign of the times of the cynical nature of what the public perceives as government and what government's capable of. You know, there are a whole lot of things that government provides. Just like if you buy a pound of hamburger at the grocery store, that pound of that has been inspected, and you're assured that it is safe to eat.
Mm-hmm.
Just like with local officials here and state officials and state board in Kentucky, we follow a set of procedures that ensure that your vote is secure and counted. And the most important thing is that your vote is counted. But no one else who should not be voting is not counted, because that takes away from your right.
Election Day is just around the corner. Do you have a message to Kentucky voters?
Yes, please be educated. That's one of it starts to feel more and more like an exchange at a retail level with voters. We do everything we can to make sure that the voter receives the correct ballot, that their vote is counted. But at times, there are human beings making some of these calls, and mistakes can be made. Voters should be educated when they get to the polls and know what races should be on their ballots.
Kenny Barger is Madison County Clerk. We appreciate you taking time for us.
Sure.
We heard it from Secretary Grimes and from Fayette County Clerk Blevins. This shortage of precinct officials was on Barger's mind as well.
The real crisis that the state of Kentucky is seeing is having enough precinct election officials at the polls the day of the election. We are around 50 short right now. Through an average age of the precinct officer in the state of Kentucky is 60. So this is not a problem that's going to go away anytime soon. Mm-hmm. People are starting to either, you know, age out of the process. They don't want – it's not an easy day. It's a 13-hour day. And, you know, I would encourage anyone to call my office, go on the Secretary of State's website, State Board website, and volunteer to work. It's not a it's basically a volunteer. It's a 13-hour day, and you get paid $125. So it's not a whole lot of money. But we're having more and more trouble along the ways of finding folks to work. Our phone number here in Richmond is 859-623-4703. You'll get to the election center, and we can train. We have had trainings to train precinct officers the night before the election at time. And we've got to have qualified folks. It's not a really difficult job, but you have to care enough to make sure that the procedures are followed. If the procedures aren't followed, no matter what you read on the news or how much time and energy we put into things, the election's not going to go smoothly.
So you have to expect that if you're going to step up to this, you have to subject yourself to a little bit of training and homework.
Yeah. Each training class lasts about 2.5 hours.
You can find those contact numbers and websites under the Facts and Information tab on our website, esweku.com. When we come back after a quick break, a model tool to help you come up to speed on who's running for what in the elections, and why Lexington-born film actor Michael Shannon has signed on for the Hometown Project.
It encourages people to go back to where they're from and reach out to people about voting, particularly on the local or state level.
I'm Tom Martin, and you're listening to Eastern Standard on the WEKU network of stations. You're listening to Eastern Standard on WEKU. I'm Tom Martin, and we wanted to call your attention to a model now available to voters in Fayette County that you may want to consider wherever you're listening to us. Richard Young is director of CivicLex.org, a not-for-profit civic education and literacy organization that is working to make information about such things as elections easier to understand. He's with us to tell you about a tool the group has developed that you can use to navigate your way through the November 6th election. Thanks for joining us, Richard.
Thanks for having me, Tom.
And first, CivicLex has developed something called an election hub. What is that, and how is it found?
Yeah, so our election hub is actually a separate website from our main platform where we have pulled together information from across a variety of sources to basically centralize information about the local races for the 2018 midterm elections. And you can find it both by going to our typical website, civiclex.org, or by navigating to it directly at lexgovote.org.
Okay, let's dig into some of the ways that the site actually works. And before we get too far into it, I understand that there are some new additions. Tell us about those.
Yeah, absolutely. In the past couple of weeks, we've launched a variety of new features on the Lex Go Vote website. The first one being a comprehensive list of ways that you can get to the polls. So there are a number of entities that are offering free rides on Election Day. We've been working with Lextran over the past couple years to actually have them offer free citywide bus rides and wheels rides on Election Day. And we're actually also very excited to say that spin bikes, the orange bikes around town, are also going to be free two-way rides on Election Day, and then Lyft and Uber. So all of that's centralized in one place and all the codes you need to access that. And then we also have information about the judicial and constitutional races that are sort of a little bit more, you see signs for them, but they're a little bit more obscure. And a lot of people don't actually know what the difference between a circuit judge and a district judge are. So we break a lot of that down on the platform in an easy to understand way.
Okay. And one tile that you have there that you can click on might be for newcomers who are not sure which district they're in, they've just moved into, or who represents them on city council. Tell us a little bit more about what's in that one.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, much like the rest of our work, we try and provide with the Election Hub various points of entry for people that have various depths of civic knowledge. So if you really want to know a lot about the constitutional and judicial races, you can. But with this tool, what we've done is created a web tool where you can enter in your address and it will pull up your voting location, your voting precinct, who represents you on council, who represents you on school board, who represents you at the state, congressional, and senatorial levels. So basically providing a one-stop shop for you to type in your address and find out who represents you and how to get in touch with them.
And then there are candidate questionnaires. Were these sent out to the candidates and then you posted them on the site?
Absolutely, yeah. So we actually sent out a 13-question questionnaire that went out to every single candidate for council. And all of the answers to that are on our platform. And we tried to take a very open approach to that. What we wanted to do was basically ask candidates what they thought the most important issues were in a variety of different sectors and how they would address those issues. So it's very open-ended. We got a wide array of responses. And we have all of that up on the Election Hub website, in addition to questionnaires from other organizations like Faith Alliance and Kentuckians for the Commonwealth.
And then you have questionnaires for voters. What kinds of questions do you have there, and how is that information being used?
Yeah, absolutely. So around the same time that we sent out this questionnaire for candidates, we also wanted to know what citizens were thinking about. So we designed a questionnaire for citizens as well and put on there some various sort of multiple choice answers for these same sectors that we asked the candidates about. And those responses, answers to the questionnaire came from some on-the-table surveying that we did during this year's on-the-table process. And so that information is also displayed on the Lexico Vote website as a broad survey of what matters to Lexingtonians. So we had a couple hundred people participate, which was really great, and from a variety of different council districts, actually a pretty equitable distribution across all the districts.
Richard, because of what you do with Civic Lex, you keep your finger on the pulse of civic life in Lexington all the time, especially among young adults in the city. What do you hear about this election, and what do you hear especially about interest in going to the polls and voting?
Yeah, I think a lot of young folks in this town are really excited to have some young folks on the ballot. And I think people are feeling very, very motivated to vote. I feel like I can't go, you know, a conversation without someone talking about the midterm election. So I think young folks are very, very motivated to vote. And not only are they motivated by the candidates themselves, but by some really serious stances that candidates have on issues that are important to young people, like affordable housing and wage growth. So, you know, that's really what I'm seeing. And I think beyond that, we're also seeing, I think, an excitement to stay involved in the democratic process outside of elections. The election's important, but our role as citizens doesn't end, you know, on November 6th.
Okay, somebody's listening to this. They're thinking, Tuesday the 6th is coming up. I need to get myself together here and figure out what I'm going to do when I go to the poll. Give us again the URL where people will go online.
Yeah, so it is lexgovote.org, which is lexgovote.org.
Richard Young is director of civiclex.org. Thank you, Richard.
Thanks for having me, Tom.
If you went to school in Lexington, Kentucky back in the 80s, you might know our next guest. If that's not you, then you may know him from his roles in Revolutionary Road or Boardwalk Empire, The Shape of Water, Man of Steel, Nocturnal Animals, Take Shelter, and many other films. He is actor Michael Shannon, and he joins us to talk about something that's very near and dear to him, and that is the importance of voting. Thanks for joining us, Michael.
Oh, my pleasure.
And if you would first bring us up to speed on your connection to Lexington, Kentucky.
Well, I was born in Lexington, Kentucky, August 7th, 1974, at the Good Samaritan Hospital, and I spent my childhood between there, and I actually spent a couple of years in Bowling Green, but for elementary school, I went to Cardinal Valley, and then seventh grade was at Leestown, eighth grade at Tate's Creek Middle School, and then I spent my first 2 years of high school up in Chicago, and I came back for my junior year of high school when I was at Henry Clay. So, and then after my junior year, I went back up to Chicago and kind of just stayed there and started my acting career.
Well, many of us here in your hometown have followed your career and with great interest and a lot of fandom, actually. And I understand that you are kind of taking a bit of a side trip here for the moment in what is called the Hometown Project. Can you tell us what that is?
I was talking to my wife one night and trying to figure out what I could do about this upcoming election, which is very important to me. And she mentioned that she had heard of something called the Hometown Project. And basically, Project Pete Solette started here in New York. And it encourages people to go back to where they're from and reach out to people about voting, particularly on the local or state level. Not so much the federal level, although obviously that's crucially important, but to really give people a sense that what happens in their on the ground in their own town is as important as what happens federally, and that it really bears paying attention to. A lot of times, you know, some of the smaller local elections, they don't get quite the same turnout, and they're, I don't know, maybe thought of as not as influential, but the Hometown Project really wants to encourage people to get involved at a local level. You know, if you can't control what's happening federally, you certainly can have an impact in your community, and we want as many people as possible to feel empowered in that regard.
And those local elections actually can have more of a direct and immediate impact on a person's life than the federal elections.
Exactly.
So what's the plan for when you're in Lexington? What will you be doing?
We came up with the idea of having an evening of music. I have a band that I'm in called Corporal. We've been together about 10 years. And the fella that helped me start the band, Ray Rizzo, he's from Louisville.
Oh.
So on Saturday, we're going to do an event in Lexington. And then Sunday morning, go up to Louisville and do an event there. And we'll play, and we'll also have some other great musicians playing. And hopefully, maybe some visits from some of the candidates. When we're in Lexington, we're going to be at Smiley Pete's. And it's going to be a great night.
Anything else that you would like to add here, Michael, about this whole initiative and about the vote that's coming up on November 6th?
Well, I'm encouraged. I'm optimistic, you know. You know, Pete at Hometown Project asked me not to go down the road of, you know, endorsing any one particular candidate. That's really just about encouraging people to vote and be involved. And I understand that because you don't want to be prejudiced against anybody's point of view. As long as you're going out to vote, that's a great thing. But I would say we just I think it's a real call to arms. We need some really responsible, dedicated, thoughtful, conscientious people in office right now. You know, a lot of these politicians, they talk about living a life of public service, but honestly, a lot of times what I see is a power grab, you know, and I don't feel the service part of it. It just feels like they're enjoying their position of power, and it really does need to be service. The country, on a federal level, on a state level, on a local level, we need help, genuine help, not a quick fix, or not lip service, but we've got some big problems we're up against right now, and we need some people with generous spirits to help us overcome them.
Well said, and kudos to you for taking the time to get involved. A lot of people just sit on the sidelines and let things happen, and you're not doing that. You're getting involved, and you're coming down to Lexington, and we're very excited about that. So we look forward to seeing you, Michael.
Thanks, Tom.
In addition to my Eastern Standard hat, I wear a couple of others, and one of those is as student media advisor at Transylvania University, where I work with the student staff of the online campus newspaper, The Rambler. And one of our editors, senior computer science major Brandon Trapp, has had something on his mind, a lot, lately. He recently put it into words. It rings a loud bell for all of us. And because I think it's always good to know what young, emerging adults are thinking, I asked Brandon if I could share this with you, and he said, okay. So, here we go. We all know someone on the other side. They just won't listen to you, will they? No matter how hard you try, you just can't get them to understand that they are wrong. You are the other side. It doesn't matter who you are. There's someone who doesn't agree with you. It doesn't matter if the disagreement is about whether or not pineapple is a good pizza topping, or if trans people should be legally allowed to use a bathroom that has a marking on it that doesn't match the gender marking on their birth certificate. Think about how you came to believe what you do. You have a whole lifetime of experience, education, and actions that influence your beliefs and ideals. Someone that you don't agree with has the exact same thing. They had an upbringing that influenced their beliefs. They had years and years of their own experiences that intricately influenced their beliefs. As a nation, we are constantly moving away from valuing actual discussion and insist instead on having debates where there is a winner as opposed to actually hearing each other. When not debating, we retreat to our own kind, people we can talk to that will agree with us because that's comfortable. We can safely plan our next debate with the other side until we go out to fight the battle yet again. Well, this isn't working. We are deciding people are wrong and then simply fighting them. Nobody is listening anymore. All anyone seems to do anymore is try to convince the other side of their own beliefs, and when their almost militant attempts are not successful, the other side gets labeled as a bigot or ignorant or something else negative. A person who doesn't agree with us can no longer be simply a person we don't agree with. To not agree is now seen as a personal attack, and if there is someone who is on the other side, you have to avoid them because they're a bad person. An unwillingness to respect the views of a person and respect that their views are just as valid to them as yours are to you is a complete forfeit of the possibility of having your own views respected. The thoughts and words of Transylvania senior Brandon Trapp from Crestwood, Kentucky. That's it for this week's edition. Eastern Standard is a community service of Eastern Kentucky University, produced in the Lexington studios of Dynamics Productions with the support of 1, the Alltech Ideas Conference, a global nexus of innovation for the future of food and the farm. Our executive producer is Mike Savage. Neil Kesterson is our producing engineer. Read about Eastern Standard content partnerships and other information about ES online at esweku.com. And there you can also find whole shows and segments of each show for listening, sharing, and downloading. You can email us at es@eku.edu. I'm Tom Martin. Thanks for listening to Eastern Standard on the WEKU Network of Stations.